verses 15 through 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. We want to preach from the message, Tree Trouble. Right. Tree Trouble. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this awesome privilege of worship. Thank you, Lord, for sparing our lives and allowing us to be here today. Lord, we're ever mindful of those who have gone through the storm. Some have lost their lives, and some, God, are struggling because of the flooding. We pray for them. Our hearts go out to them. We ask that you would be with them, that you would comfort them. Give us, Lord, the opportunity that we might serve them by helping and coming alongside and doing what we can. Father, use us all for thy glory and speak to our hearts now. We humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You know, as we think about this subject of having troubles in life, and we think about the problems that came from the original sin, we have to go back and look at where did Adam and Eve get the notion to go to a tree that God had forbidden them, that the Lord had said to them, "The day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." What happened to cause them to not take God's word seriously, move away from what he had said, and then to something else, what God did not say? More importantly, what caused them to get to the point where they turned from all of the other things, all of the other provisions that God had given them in the garden? What caused them to turn away from those things to this one central thing, the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Now, I know that some of you are probably thinking to yourself, you're saying, well, Pastor, why was it so bad for them to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? We should know good and evil, right? Well, let me help you out with that. Their knowledge was coming directly from God. You can't get much more knowledge than that. It doesn't get any better than knowing God, walking with God, and having God to speak to you. Now, if they go to another source, if they go to something else, they would not be getting it directly from God. Does that help? So when God gave the command, he wanted mankind, and same as with you and me, he wants us to be totally dependent upon him. Does that mean you can't do anything? Well, let me correct you on that. It's not that you can't do anything, but you should do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And when we think that we can be anything without being attached to God, connected to him and his righteousness, whatever we do, we find that it's either going to be in vain or it's going to be totally wrong. So as we think about tree trouble, I thought about some of the things in my own life and some of the needs that I have, some of the struggles that I have, and I have to ask myself, did I go to the wrong tree? And if I've gone to the wrong tree, then I have to expect the results or the fruit of that tree to manifest itself. Are we all here on that? And so as we look at this, God gave a clear command. Do not eat of that tree, because in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. You know, it's interesting as we think about this, I remembered a poem that was by David McCord, "Every Time I Climb a Tree." And the poem, it's kind of like a children's poem, but he repeats it three times. Every time I climb a tree, every time I climb a tree, every time I climb a tree. Then he says, I skin my knee, I run into ants, I dodge a bee. Every time I climb a tree. And while that sounds, yeah, that can happen, you got to think about it. There are risks to climbing trees. There are risks involved when any time in life that you start seeking something at a higher level, you better make sure you're climbing the right tree. And what McCord was trying to say that the benefits were he could see things. And we're not saying that God does not want you to experience or see things. What we are saying is you'd better measure the risk. You'd better know that when you start going out and venturing out on your own and you start saying to yourself, I'm going to lean to my own understanding, there are some serious risk involved. I don't know where Adam and Eve, where their mind was, because they could have said, well, let me see what God said. Let me revisit his word. That's why we come to church. That's why we worship, because unless you revisit what God has spoken to you on a regular basis, you're going to find yourself not only out of the will of God, but risking your very life. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. So we struggle with trees. I'll get into some of the benefits of a special tree on next week, but we've been talking about this thing, the blessings of the tree, and we've got to look at where we're going in our life because we want to be fruitful, right? We want to be productive in life. We want to accomplish things, and so we've got to make sure that we're making the right choices. I jotted down a couple of things that you need to think about if you're going to do any tree climbing. If you're going to do any type of advancement in life, any type of saying, I want to move forward, I want to do better, I want to accomplish some things in life, here's a couple of things that you need to bear in mind. Number one, will that tree you climb, will it support you? In other words, if I get up there, you know, and I'm on a limb, will it support me? I think that's a reasonable question that we should ask ourselves, because some of the things that we depend on to support us, it can let us down. The money tree will let you down. Amen? The friendship tree or the family tree, how many of y'all know it'll let you down sometime? And it's not that people intentionally let you down, but it's the fact that people are people. Okay, and so you've got to make sure that when you climb a tree that it's going to support you. Second thing is, make sure that you will not sustain injury. Going back to McCord, and he said, every time I do it, every time I engage, every time I get up there, I skin a knee, I dodge a bee, or something else comes my way. And then he says, plus I get ants all over me. Every time. Now, if you're in the habit of things in your life, and let's say that one of your trees is a habit, how much injury has it caused you? And what are you doing to minimize the risk of being injured again? Another reason why we come to church, because every one of us have some faults. Every one of us has some flaws, and you're dealing with that. And as you deal with it in Christ, the Lord starts to warn you. He starts to teach you. He guides you. He shows you. Now, here's the danger you ran into before. Let's go this way. This is the way. Walk in it. Anybody getting something out of this? So you've got to make sure that you're looking at the risk that's involved, because you're in this thing called life now. You're not in some type of fairy tale. And they all lived happily ever after. You're not at the end of a good movie. This is life. It could go this way or that way. It's kind of like Hurricane Florence. They didn't know which way it was going to go. They loaded in the models. They put in all of the information they had. And they said, well, this is our best guess. As far as what's going to happen tomorrow, you nor I know that. But there is someone who does. All right, are you with me? There is someone who does. And you better believe that God will tell you, eat from that tree, partake of this tree, but that tree, don't go that way. You're going to get in trouble. It's going to cause you problems. The last thing we want to say is that make sure that it has some reward. We'll get into that on next week as we talk about this. But I had to start seriously looking at what kind of trees have I been climbing? You know, at some point, you say, well, how did I get this bruise on my knee? How did I get this scrape on my head? How did I get the ants all over me? At some point, you want to ask the serious questions, what in the world have I been doing in my life? I believe in God. I know that He is true, but have I been faithful to Him? Now, we can point the finger at Adam and Eve, and we can say, oh, they should never, oh, shame, shame. Yeah, that's the easy thing to do, but how many of us made that wrong decision, turned in that wrong direction, and started climbing that tree anyway? And they should go, oops. So let's look at this. Let's look at some things that are very serious. One is we've got to look at wrong influences. You know, these wrong influences come into our lives, these things that can really get us off track. And they start speaking to us. Now God has spoken, but we also start hearing from something else or hearing from other people what we ought to be doing with our lives, right? The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he said, the serpent. You know, we don't exactly know whether it's one of these. It was a reptile. We do know that. And Satan evidently decided that he would get into the serpent and influence Eve. You know, I don't want you to think that all snakes are the devils. Some devils, you know, they don't just crawl around, slither around. Some walk around. I mean, you know that to be, yeah. Okay. So when we look at this, we think about the wrong influence. Here it is. God has spoken directly to them. God loved them. He put them up in the Garden of Eden. Everything was beautiful. Everything was wonderful. They could eat from any other tree except one. And this influence that came into their life made that one tree the most important thing on their agenda for the day. Oh, footnote. The devil knows your weaknesses. He studied you long enough to know what it takes to get close to you. He knows your weaknesses. Here's some good news. God also, and first and foremost, knows your weaknesses. That's good news. I'm going to clap on that one myself, yeah. Because if I take it to God, I won't have problems with these wrong influences. If I don't take it to God, and we'll get into that all next week, if I don't take it to God, then I know I'm going to have some issues with this. And so the devil kept talking. Now, real quickly, wrong influences. Did he try to influence Jesus? Yep, he came in. Yep. Jesus, you need to do this. Jesus, you need to do this. And basically, Jesus told him, shut up. Get behind me, Satan. Amen. It is written. And he would always come back with what God said. Right. Here's another footnote. Whenever you get to a moment that you're indecisive, go to God's word. Even if you don't know anything else but Psalm 23, I'd get into that one. Right. I'd say, God, talk to me. Yes. Teach me something. Yes. Because I don't know. I'm struggling. How many of you ever struggled? I'm struggling. Eve was struggling. I don't want you to just think that Eve was there and just not paying attention. But she was struggling, but she did not turn her attention to God. Amen. Second thing that happened to us, wrong priorities. Now, what are wrong priorities? These things can come into your life where all of a sudden something looks important that wasn't important. You know, if you're one of these clean fanatics and you can't stand trash, right? Or you can't stand things to be out of order. How many of y'all kind of got that disease? So if there are carts on the Walmart parking lot as you're leaving, you take it upon yourself to say, you know what? I'm going to push these carts up there because they're out of... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about myself. But you get the point. We make things priorities that are not priorities. We think that something is life-threatening when really it's not. Question is, could Adam and Eve have lived without the tree of knowledge? Of course they could. Matter of fact, that tree, rather than giving them life, is going to take it away. I want you to look at the priorities of your life today. Things that you've said, this is important to me. And I want to ask you one serious question. Did God tell you that? If he didn't tell you that, guess what? Not a priority. Not a priority. Look at what happened. And when she saw the tree, not ate of it, she didn't eat of it yet. When she saw the tree was good for food. Now, who told her that? God didn't tell her that. She saw it. Now, it's not just the influence, it's her imagination. Eve, you never ate from it before. Wake up, girl. Oh, I'm sorry. So, anyway. And I wanted to, when I read that, I wanted to shake her and say, wait a minute, Mama Eve, please don't do that. But she saw. Before she ate, she saw. The temptation kicks in. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean you have to yield. Amen. Anybody in the house today? But she not only saw, look at the next thing she did. She took. She took what God said, don't take. She took and gave, or she ate of it and then gave to her husband with her. Here's Adam over there. He's probably thinking to himself, I'm just going to see what happens. I'm going to check this out. You know, and so when she didn't die or die in the way that he thought she was going to die, Eve said, yeah, baby. And he said, sure. And immediately their eyes were open to the knowledge of good and evil, but closed to the will of God. Don't tell me we haven't all been there. Don't tell me we haven't all experienced that. And we'll talk about it next week. But I'm telling you, you got to get to the right tree. Look at somebody and tell them you got to get to the right tree. You got to get to the right tree. If you don't get to the right tree, it's all over. But thank God there's a right tree. Woo, glory, I feel like preaching this morning. Preach, Coleman. All right, so here's the other thing that happened. Wrong things. Everybody said wrong things. Not only was it wrong priorities, wrong influence, but the wrong things themselves. And the wrong things, this is what happened as Eve began to see of that tree and see certain things about it, that what Eve was starting doing, it was distracting her by these wrong things. And these wrong things, you know, she was saying it's good for food, but wait a minute, what about the other trees in the garden? Did all of a sudden these multitude of trees now become irrelevant because of this one tree? And she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. Well, what about the tree of life that was in the garden that they could take fruit of? They could eat of that tree. But no, that was not important now because I see something different. You know, your flesh and my flesh is crazy. But God gave you a brain so that it could speak to your flesh and say, don't sit there and eat the whole half gallon of ice cream. For goodness, don't eat the whole package of cookies. Right? You got to measure the risk of doing that. And especially if you're lactose intolerant, you know. Oh man, I know that cheesecake is going to hurt me something fierce later, but it looks so good. You're doing something that could cause you great harm and great injury. And so what you got to do is make sure that you're paying attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to what God is saying. And she took of the fruit thereof. Next week, we're going to talk about the fruit from the right tree and how that we will take things to this tree, but we won't bring back the fruit from the tree. And that's what God wants us to do. I can't wait till next week. Man, I'm going to get here early next week. Yeah, thank you, Reverend Givens, for opening up. I was late today. I, I'll tell you. You know, when you get older, your body, you say, I'm going to get up. How many of y'all know that? And then your body said, no, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes. No, I'm not. Back to the sermon. So now, on your list of things that you had looked at your priorities, and you'd ask yourself, did God tell me this? Now you've got to ask yourself this question. Did I act on these things? If I have, then I've sinned. Even if it was something that I was supposed to do that was good and I didn't do it, that's still sin. Man, it's just a shortcoming. No, you're never going to overcome it unless you call it exactly what it is. At this point, they want to come up with solutions. And you know the rest of the story. And I'm going to get out of this because we're out of time. But they said, let's fix this. Let's fix this. And so they both come up with the idea, let's get us some fig leaves. Number one, if you're from the country, you know that leaves don't last always. Any country person can tell you that trick ain't going to work. And then when God comes, they said, let's hide ourselves. Let me get this straight now. He sees everything. How in the world are you going to hide from him? Let me know how that works. As a matter of fact, all of us have done it, so we know how it works. You do something and, okay, I'll just avoid the people that I sinned against. It's not going to hide your sin. I'll cover it up with the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen people do it. You know they got sin in their heart, and they think the more I praise God, the better off I'm going. No, you're not. What you're doing is you're treating a symptom, and you're not getting to the root of the matter, which is fall on your knees before God. God, I messed up. You know why God loved King David? Not because he was sin-free. Every time he did something wrong, every time he climbed a tree and skinned a knee, guess what he'd do? He'd get on his knees and call on God and say, God, I'm unworthy, but I need you. I need you. That's why God said, David, you're a man after my own heart. You know exactly what to do when you do wrong, and you know exactly what to do when I tell you to do right. David was a man after God's own heart. So how do we get out of this, preacher? One is we got to find the right tree. Everybody say right tree. I'm going to give you a few of the benefits, because what happened was, here's what happened. God wanted to replace that wrong tree that every human being had ate upon, that everyone had partaken of, and because mankind couldn't plant the tree on their own, God decided, I'm going to take my tree and I'm going to put it outside of Jerusalem. I'm going to use the Romans to plant the tree on a hill called Golgotha. Now, what they're thinking they're going to do is put someone to death, which they will, but he'll rise again. And because he was on that tree, I'm going to put some fruit on. Anybody with me today? I'm going to put some fruit on that tree. The first thing that Adam and Eve lost that you and I could not get is that of divine fellowship. God put it on the right tree. Not on the tree of knowledge, but on that tree of Calvary that God said mankind was separated. So now we're being joined because of the one who went to the cross, who bore our sin. And look at what it says in 1 John 1:3. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Christ. Can I get an amen right there? Your fellowship with God has been restored. What that first tree destroyed, what the wrong tree brought down. Thank God at the tree of Calvary, you and I can have this wonderful fellowship with God. But not only that, we've got devoted service. People say, well, I'm tired of serving the Lord. Tell me how that works. I get tired, but I'm not tired of. Come on, somebody. Why? Because something on the inside gets to working in you. And if your fellowship with God, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. In other words, I'm going to stick to it. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, look at this, your labor, watch this, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what if there's only two or three of us? We'll get it done. Amen. So what if there's only a few of us worshiping? We'll get it done. So what if there's only a few of us going out and helping others? We'll get it done. Amen. Because where two or three are gathered together in his name, he said, not me, I will be in the midst of you. Somebody ought to clap your hands to that one. What? Talk about giving up? No, we just got started. Look at somebody, tell them, we just got started. Got to the right tree. Got to the right tree. We got to the right tree. We got to the right tree. And that right tree is bringing us into divine fellowship with God and leading us into devoted service. But not only that, here's another thing that tree does. It brings us to dynamic praise. Now, I know you think that this dynamic praise, all it is just lifting your hands, saying praise the Lord every few times. No, the praise is you. Why? Because God has a purpose for your life. You ate of the wrong tree, it messed you up, but if you come to the right tree, that tree transforms you. It makes you into what God would have you to be, what he intended for your life in the first place. Look at somebody, tell them, eat, because when you start, y'all ain't saying, you see, y'all ain't, I'm going to talk to the folk over here, all right? Now look at what Ephesians 1 and 12 says, that we should be. We should be, what? To the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We should be. My life ought to be a praise. And you know what the devil always wants to tell me? Your life ain't nothing. Last week he had me pinned to the wall, but I called 111. The devil said, you're not going to get from this. I said, hold on. You can't make an arrest without me making a call. Let me call the name of Jesus, and we're going to see. Now, I'm going to tell you, Monday stuff was bad. Tuesday, things were worse. Wednesday, it looked like I wasn't going to make it. Thursday, I was about to give up. But guess what? On Friday, somebody, look at somebody, tell him, he'll come through on Friday. On Friday, God came through. There's a Friday in your life that God says, I'm going to complete this thing. If I started it, I'm out of sermon. I got to quit preaching here. I got to quit. But isn't it good that you should be to the praise of his glory? You know, I look in the mirror sometime and I ask the Lord, why do you love me? Now, when I was young and I looked in the mirror, I thought I was all right, you know. Now, as you get older, you say, Lord, have mercy. And you look at the things, the failures, the disappointments, the tears. Do you not know that God loved you anyway? And now he's making and shaping in you what you could never do for yourself? That's because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Make sure that you not only go to the right tree, keep it in your life. Amen. Draw fruit from it. Next week, we'll talk about that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your glory. We thank you for your presence and your power. Thank you, God. We don't know how to say it any more, any better than thank you. Lord, we just worship you. We ask that you would speak to all of our hearts. Help us to be triumphant in Christ, that, Lord, we might be able to serve you more and love you more. And Lord, just give our all to the kingdom of God. We pray this in the strong and awesome name of Jesus and for his glory. And all the people said, amen. Well, I want to give you an opportunity. If you have not, if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, I want to give you that opportunity to open your heart and say, Lord, I need you. I've gone to the wrong tree for too many times in my life, and I need to come to you. He's willing and he's able to deliver all that call upon him. So if there's one today, will you come? I'm going to ask that we all stand. If you're not a member of the church, you'd like to be a part of our church family, I can guarantee you two things. Number one, we're not a perfect church. I can guarantee that. But secondly, I can guarantee you that there will be fellowship where you can be encouraged and grow in Christ and learn more about his ways. So if you'd like to be a part of our family, we invite you to come. Is there one?